Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Tattest Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope, A Transformational Guide. And I also have a wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today our topic is love in all the right places. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. And also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away.
Yes, and welcome, everybody. I'm not doing the little skit today because I don't quite know how to do it based on our topic. However, I do want to remind everybody you can go to facebook.com/group/ your toxic relationship group. And I do monitor it, so if you post anything during the call, we will discuss it. So be sure, you know, you head on over to Facebook and post whatever you can. And you can always call in by calling 713-955-0561. And you can also, if you're on the Blog Talk page, then you can, there's a chat place where you can chat with Al. So I did want to mention that to everybody. And with love in all the right places, I thought, you know, we talk about toxic relationships all of the time, but what is, like, especially in America, what is the hugest toxic relationship that affects every single one of us? And that's actually the Republicans versus the Democrats. And there's so much upset on both sides right now, and I had thought, how great would it be if we focused on love in all the right places? What can each of us do individually to create a more loving, harmonious space in our own little world? Because, you know, the government really doesn't have as much control over us as we like to think they do. The way our founding fathers created the government made it to where there's no person ever that can be in 100% power. And so therefore, whenever you think of that, you think of how you're allowing, regardless what side of the coin you're on, you're thinking either, you know, if you're pro-Trump, you're thinking that he's going to fix everything. If you're against Trump, you think your world's ending. But neither of them's true, because the government really doesn't have much to do with our day-to-day life. It's how we choose to look on what's happening right there in front of us. Anything you want to add, Mr. Al, there?
You know, what's interesting is what has gone on since Tuesday in regards to everybody in America and how everybody's responding or reacting to the election. It's pointing to us what's going on within ourselves. Because, and my perspective is, what goes on in our external reality is coming from within us. We're co-creating what's going on in front of us. And with that being said, you know what? How America is, and actually not just America, but the world is responding to the election the way it has, is because what we have going on within ourselves. And I know you mentioned that there's a toxic relationship between Democrats and Republicans, but I think it goes even deeper than that. You know, what part of us is toxic? Are we toxic with ourselves? Do we have a toxic relationship with ourselves? And if that's the case, then we have to resolve whatever quote-unquote issues we have within us so that we can resolve what's going on in our external reality.
Right, right. And I honestly believe that most Americans think more like I do. I mean, I would never say that I'm a Republican, and I would never say that I'm a Democrat, because I honestly see good and bad in both of them. And isn't that who we all are? You know, there's one of my first mentors, I love her to death. Her name is Mary Allen. She wrote a book called Your Inner Choice. And I just looked at this passage a minute ago, and I'm going to find it here and read it. But meanwhile, I want you to talk, Al.
Thank you for that. And I'll do the smiling aspect for you. I'm just messing with you, Cindy. But you know what? And this is a great topic to have because, and going back to what I just finished saying, you know, and let's assume, you know, and I know some of you are not going to agree with it, and I get it. But let's assume that we do create our external reality. And what's going on in front of us is toxic, whether it's on a major platform or just in an intimate relationship. We all need to understand that that comes from within us. We're allowing it to exist from within us. And we have to take responsibility or accountability to say, hey, look, what part of me is contributing to what's going on in my external reality? What part of me do I need to resolve that so that what's going on in my external reality no longer exists? You know, what part of me, what is my mindset? What are my emotions? What are my feelings? What words am I speaking? What am I thinking about? What am I saying? Because, and the bottom line is, what is the relationship that I have with myself? Because if I don't resolve that, then what's going on in your external reality is not going to be resolved either.
Okay, I found this, so it's going to take me a minute to read this. But as I'm reading it, I really want all of our listeners to think of how this affects, how this reflects you as a person and how it reflects other people you know as a person, as people, and also, you know, how it reflects all of the political leaders, whether it be in America or other countries, just literally every single person. It's people are kind, friendly, loving, warm, gracious, giving, silly, adventurous, courageous, forgiving, creative, deep, tender, generous, humorous, intelligent, strong, leaders, successful, spiritual, elegant, caring, sharing, honorable, visionary, removed, powerful, gifted, eternal, diplomatic, and it goes on with quite a few other fantastic positive traits. And then, you know, we're conscious, we're humble, and much, much more. But people are also judgmental, deceptive, manipulative, dishonest, hateful, harmful, argumentative, disrespectful, disappointing, attacking, seductive, abusive, take advantage of others, ignore righteous, their victims, they're inflexible, they're unaware, they're harassing, they're reckless, they're dictatorial, they're rough. And then it goes on with a lot of other not-so-nice traits. And basically, it's every single one of us have all of these traits inside of us. We have all the light traits, and we have all the dark traits. And part of being happy, and actually part of loving, finding love in all the right places, is how you are choosing to look at yourself and how you are choosing to look at the world in general and other people around you. Accepting other people, and this is reading from the book again, accepting other people as they are means accepting all the characteristics and actions of all people. All people. Because even though you know, we've all had ugly thoughts. I mean, ugly, ugly thoughts. Before I left Earl, I actually prayed and fasted for 3 days that he would die. Okay, so because I thought if he died, there wouldn't be the stigma on me that I had from divorce. So therefore, I mean, and this is really a deep, ugly thought. I mean, to think back what place I was in that I actually prayed and fasted for 3 days that he would die. And there's not a person alive that hasn't had ugly thoughts like that. And so, and there's none of us alive that haven't said and done things that we regret. And whenever we look at our leaders, I mean, you know, even, you know, it definitely goes with, I'm sure, Trump and Hillary. They are people just like us. They have the same emotions. They have the same feelings. They've effed up in a lot of ways, but also they've done a lot of good. And so whenever you're looking at your other toxic relationships in your life, be it your exes, your, you know, anything. And what all this comes down to is knowing what you can change and knowing what you can't change. So whenever you look within, because you're the only thing that you can change. And so whenever you look within and you start looking at your positive qualities, your light qualities, and you also sort of review your dark qualities and you accept the dark qualities of yourself, then it's easier to accept the dark qualities of other people. I believe that a lot of times whenever we see dark qualities in somebody and it really irritates the hell out of us, it's because we have to look within because we're not accepting that we may also have that dark quality.
That's a valid point you just said, Cindy, that when I speak to my audiences, I normally speak of a positive nature, and I'm going to use an example. If you see a loving couple in front of you and your mind processes the intimacy between that couple and you tell yourself that's a loving couple, well, that feeling or that emotion of a loving couple has to exist within you in order for you to comprehend or understand or view what you're seeing as a loving couple. Because if you didn't understand it within you, that it cannot exist in your external reality because you wouldn't get it. You would look at it and say, two human beings are groping each other rather than being a loving couple. Well, the same thing goes on the flip side. You know, whatever toxic scenario or negative experience you're seeing in front of you, the fact that you understand it, the fact that you can view it, the fact that you can perceive it, the fact that you can see it, tells me anyway that also exists within you, because otherwise you would not understand it. You cannot perceive it unless it already exists within you.
Right. And the whole thing with the love in all the right places, and I think you've gathered by now, love in the right places within your own heart. And I love what you just said, Al, about, you know, seeing loving couples. And also whenever you look at something, know that it's only a brief snapshot in time. You know, my family was very dysfunctional, but growing up, I never seen my parents fight. I never seen them yell at each other. And I was raised in a very dysfunctional home. But I also never seen them being loving with each other. And so whenever I first started dating Earl and I went to his parents' house, his mom was cooking and his dad sort of goes up next to her and sort of hugged her, then he smacked her on the butt. And I can remember thinking, wow, what a loving couple. Wow, you know, how nice that they're displaying affection. They've been married all these years, and I'd never seen that with my parents. So this really, really affected me. But in time, I had found out, my ex-father-in-law cheated on my mother-in-law more times than I could count. And there's also, you know, some very, very dark history there. So whenever you're looking at something, and it's so easy today with social media and looking on Facebook, we see all these snapshots and we think, oh, they have a perfect life and my life is so crappy. You're only seeing one tiny speck of the entire picture. The only picture that you have access to see the whole picture of is where you are right this moment and where you've been. That's the only picture any of us have complete access to. And because we have complete access to where we are now, that gives us the ability to change who we are and to make these mind shifts to be more loving, to be more kind to other people, sometimes we look at people and we automatically think negative of them or positive of them. What I find very interesting with the whole election thing is somebody had said this on the radio, and it's probably true. There's probably husbands and wives out there where the husband voted for, let's say, Trump and the wife voted for Hillary, but they refuse to tell each other, they're lying to each other about who they voted for because they're afraid of the other person's reaction. And so therefore, so much of this election brought out, I think, so much of the bad qualities in people you know, and because we didn't have the best choices that we've had. And I think it's just because of our times that we actually are privy to more information than what Americans were in 1900 whenever they were voting. I mean, it amazes me always how Roosevelt hid his polio and him being in a wheelchair for years. That could never happen with today's technology. There's too many cameras out there everywhere. I think, you know, how it brought, you know, everybody wanted to focus on the bad. And whether you're thinking of your ex-spouse or your next-door neighbor that you're having a fight with or your boss, it's you have the power within you to say, hey, they have a lot of ugly, dark qualities, but so do I. I also have a lot of good qualities, and so do they. So what type of good qualities do they have that I want to focus on? Because even the ugliest, darkest people, if you can find one thing to love about them, that is going to make you love yourself more, and it's going to make you have a brighter now.
You know, and good points you're bringing up, Cindy. Another thing that I tell my audiences is, where is your focus? What are you focusing on? Because what you're focusing on is what you're going to see. So if you're looking for negativity, you're going to find it. If you're looking for positivity, you're going to find it. So the bottom line is where is your focus? On the other hand, there's some discernment here. Obviously, you need to take care of yourself and make sure that everything is on the up and up. So I suggest that you look at the whole spectrum rather than focusing on one specific area. But on the other hand, if your focus is on negativity or if your focus is on toxic scenarios, you're going to find them. I don't care how good the person is. You will find something because you're so determined through your focus to fulfill what it is they're looking for. And it goes the other way around, too. If you're looking for something positive, something good in a person, no matter how bad they seem to be, you will find that goodness or something great about them. You will find it because that's where your focus is at. So, again,
exactly.
Where is your focus? What are you focusing on? Because you will find it.
And, you know, in talking about, you know, just even loving relationships, and I know I've mentioned this before, where I had a client where his girlfriend had written down a list of over 100 reasons that proved that he did not love her. And, you know, I'm sure we can all find 100 reasons that prove that somebody doesn't love us just as much as we can find 100 reasons that proves that they do. And with anything, you know, there's always different ways of looking at stuff, and that's why the world is the world. You know, if you were brought up Muslim, that's your religion, and you believe it to be truth. If you were brought up Christian, you believe it to be truth. But even in both of these religions, you have hundreds of various beliefs that interpret each of their religious things. And so if you set out to prove that, you know, regardless what vision, if you set out to prove that you're a Jehovah's Witness and your way is truth, or that you're a Mormon and your way is truth, or that you're a Pentecostal and your way is truth, or that you're a Catholic and your way is truth, or you're a Muslim and your way is truth, you're going to find it. But if you have an open mind and you can say, well, what's true about these other ones? I have studied religions, and I find religions fascinating because all of the religions have the same core beliefs that a man is who he thinks, you know, that you become whatever you think about the most, and also that, you know, about love. It's all about love. And whenever any of these religious books talk about love, it's always about how you treat other people. What I wish there was more of in all of these books is how much you love yourself, because I always ask, you know, how would your life be different if you loved yourself as much as you want other people to love you?
Well, you're making some great points today, Cindy. You're right. You know, how different would life be if not only did you love others to the best of your ability, and not just other people, but even the experiences and the scenarios, situations, whatever's going on in front of you. But if you took it to another level and started loving yourself, you know, love yourself as much as you are to love others. You know, if you're in an intimate relationship with a significant other, and all you do is express your love toward this person, what if you turned it around and started loving yourself as much as you want to love that other person? How much mm-hmm. how different would your life be? You know, it would literally explode and open up different avenues and different pathways to start living life differently, because all of a sudden you matter, you become important, you're a priority, the self-care. And what that does is it allows you to love the experiences that are going on in front of you. And going back to the Democrats and the Republicans and stuff like that, you would be able to look at that and say, okay, this is happening for a reason. What am I going to do with this? Let me love it for what it is, but what am I going to do with it? I'm not going to say to sit back and watch the show happen in front of you. You might even want to get involved now to change what's happening in front of you, because you don't like what you see, or you do like what you see, and then to enhance it. So, but when you love yourself, your whole perspective changes because you feel empowered. Your self-worth increases, your self-esteem increases, and you have it gives you the ability to love what's going on in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't even know that love what's going on in front of you as much as it is accepting. It's knowing what you can and you can't change. Because so much of our own personal pain is because we resist what is. We resist, you know, the people that are unhappy that Trump won. They're resisting the outcome of the election. The people that are, if you're in the midst of a bad relationship or a divorce that you didn't want, you're resisting what's happening. If you're in a job with a boss that's a complete asshole and goes around yelling at everybody all day long, even, you know, calling people foul names. I actually had a client who had a boss like bitches, which is really pretty sad. But if you're in an environment like that, it's knowing, hey, I can't change this other person. I can't resist who they are. So what can I do? I have the ability to go look for another job. I have the ability to get out of this relationship, or I just have to accept it. I can't change my husband or wife from wanting a divorce. They want a divorce. How can I change their mind? You know, you can't change somebody else's mind. With all of the debates and everything else, it's really interesting because we cannot change somebody else's mind. We can show people different ways of looking at things, you know, but you can't make them change their mind. The person's either going to somewhere within them choose to change their own mind or they're not. But you do have the ability to grow yourself, to love yourself, to accept what you can't change. I always like the story about rain. And I honestly think that, you know, people are like this too. Whenever we look at rain, you have this person who's been planning this big, giant outdoor party, and all of a sudden it's pouring down, raining, and this person's like, holy crap, I hate the rain. Why did it have to rain on my party, literally? Why, you know, what am I going to do now? Because this just ruined my whole party, this stupid rain, I hate the rain. And then you have the farmer who's been in the midst of a drought. He's outside dancing in the rain. Yay, it's raining. My crops are saved. I'm going to have a wonderful, you know, year this year. Thank you, rain. Thank you, rain. I love you, rain. And then you have the little boy sitting in his living room playing video games. He could care less whether it's raining outside or not. So regardless of what's happening in your life and how people are, you have those three different ways of looking at people and situations. You can either love it or hate it or be neutral to it. And whenever you're neutral to it, it's not daily life. You know, the little boy's like, okay, it's raining outside. Who cares? I'm inside playing my video game. You know, it's just totally neutral. And this is the way we are. This is the way that we can find more peace and happiness and love within ourselves, is to realize we can't change what is. We can't change other people. We can't change circumstances. It's just what it is, what it is. We can change ourselves. We can bring love and light to other people. If you're at the grocery store, you can, you know, you can offer to, you know, pay a few bucks on the person's grocery bill. You know, today's Veterans Day, you could do something to honor a veteran. You could go to, you know, you could go to McDonald's and, you know, say, hey, I'm going to pay for the next two cars worth of food. You know, there's different things that you can do, and you don't even have to, other people don't even have to know that you're doing it. But whenever you do it, this is you showing love and light into the world.
You know, as I was listening to you right now, what came to me is empowerment is understanding the power, is understanding the power behind perception. Because when you understand what you perceive is what's happening in front of you, is coming from within you, and you understand that you get to decide what your perception is, that's empowerment. Because then at that point, you gain, quote-unquote, control in your life, because then you get to decide what you perceive. Instead of automatically just doing it, you consciously, you know, empowerment, through empowerment, you consciously perceive what's going on in front of you. But if you're disempowerment, you're just going to automatically respond or react to what's in front of you, either through your emotions, feelings, or thoughts. And you're just going to look at it and say, okay, this is what it is, without even thinking about it, without being conscious. And I believe that through empowerment is to have the understanding that there is power through perception.
Yes. And, you know, it's always keeping your power. I was speaking to a client earlier who is going to her brother's wedding, and she's going to see her father and her father's family that she has not seen in 14 years. She also said the last time that I believe, you know, it's one of the last times she spoke to her father was on 9/11, and she phoned him up just because she was concerned about him, but then he made fun of her for calling him up. And so she said how silly and stupid she felt for being concerned. And she was sort of concerned about how some of these relatives she hasn't seen for years were going to say to her, like, how come you haven't called us? How come you haven't done this? And I told her, you know, the best thing to stay in your power is because they're trying to make you responsible for their feelings whenever they say stuff like that. And so you say, I did what I thought was best, done differently. Because this is giving somebody else back power in their own life and not allowing them to make you responsible for them. And, you know, even with the election, you know, there's a very, you know, divided people, you know, wanting different things. But, you know, at the end of the day, I love you. I don't care who you voted for. I love you, and I accept you exactly as you are. And I know that there's a lot of people out there like me and Al that feel exactly this way. I really don't care who you voted for. I don't, you know, I would have been fine either way the election went, because it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change the love that I have for myself, and it does not change the love that I have for you and the wish that I have for you to really tap into your own inner strength and be at peace with yourself and love yourself. It doesn't change that. And this is what I have the power to change. I have the power to show you love. I have the power to get on this radio show each week with Al, and Al and I talk about, you know, love and toxic relationships. And we do this all because we want you to have a better life. And so what can you do, whether it's you're sharing, you know, if you're a teacher or a nurse or a stay-at-home mom, you have so much to offer somebody. And whenever you focus on what it is that you are offering and loving yourself and how you're loving other people, you know, whenever everybody does that, that's whenever we're really going to have a loving, peaceful world.
Great conversation, Cindy, and great show. And thank you for sharing your wisdom. And for the audience, again, my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, the compassionate divorce coach at coachingfordivorcewomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, you just heard a wonderful conversation between Cindy and I about love. Listen to us. Share it with the world. Tell everyone. And let's rock. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Cindy, you simply rock as usual. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. And I love all of you. And you go out and love yourself and share love with one other person this weekend at least. Love you all. Big hugs. Have a great weekend.
You too.